Please turn with me tonight to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. And I'm reading verse 25. Matthew, chapter 15, verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. My subject tonight is the real sinner's prayer. The true sinner's prayer. My dear friends, to be saved is a deep matter. We are speaking about holy and high things. To be saved is a deep matter. Why? There is no formula. In some churches, foolish preachers give a formula, but there is no formula. There is no idea of repeat this after me and you are saved. There is no such thing in the Word of God. There is no such thing as raise up your hand and you are saved. There is no such thing as fill up this application form and you are saved. These are things that are not in the Word of God. So we keep saying there is no idea of come to the front and repeat these things after me and you are saved. There are no boxes to tick. That's strange and foreign and extra biblical information. But my dear friends, to be saved, as I said, is a deep matter because it requires an attitude of great spiritual need. An attitude of great spiritual need. If you understand that, that is where salvation begins. That's where it starts. And this is why the segment I want to put before you tonight, starting from verse 21 to verse 28, it's really a record, an account that goes together. And you see here, there is a great need. There is pain. There is a trouble in the life of a mother. But there is also hopelessness. If Christ doesn't intervene in the prayer, in the imploration, in the supplication of this woman, there is no hope for her. But in spite of the need, the pain, the hopelessness, there is also mega. That's the word used in verse 28. Mega faith, great faith. That's the idea, and that's what we are calling you tonight, my dear friends. And here, as I said, you find the conversion account. It is exclusive. You don't find it many times in the Word of God. You find two persons combined together, a mother and her daughter combined together, but it is really about the conversion of the mother. We don't know really much about her, but especially we don't know anything about the daughter because she was not present. But actually, as you know, distance means nothing for the Lord because he's everywhere. He knows all things. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. So the distance was not really a great matter for her and for the Lord. But now, there are a number of things that catch our eyes and our attention, and I would like to put them before you. But before really I come to the text, my dear friends, there is something to bear in mind. The Lord Jesus Christ, because it is about him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, the Son of the Living God. This is another one. We don't often speak about that, but this is another miracle performed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He crossed the borders between heaven and earth. That's what is happening here. He crossed the borders between heaven and earth. He became a man, God-man, God of the very God. That man walking on earth was not an ordinary man. He was not just a prophet, not just a teacher, not just a good example. But my dear friends, the very man you are watching and reading about in the Gospels and in the Word of God is God. But in his humiliation, he came in a body like ours. But remember, without sin. So that's why he crossed that border between heaven and earth. Why am I telling you this? Because here, he is doing something else. He is crossing another border, and the border that was between the nation of Israel and the Gentiles, the pagans. And remember that time, even if you are semi or semi-Jew, the Samaritans, as you know, the Samaritans were half-Jew. Even if you were a half-Jew person, you were still considered as a pariah. Somebody which should not really interact with the pure blood of Jews. But guess what now? What is happening? The Lord Jesus is crossing the border that divided Israel and the Gentiles. And in verse 21, as you read it there, it is said that he departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered in a house, but in that house, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, as you know, he entered. By the way, the same record is given to us again in Mark chapter 7. We find even more details there. I will not turn to that text at all. I will just keep myself to the record here, the account in Matthew chapter 15. But you can see that Christ entered in a house just to find some peace, some rest. But how come? How come? He could not hide there. He wanted to remain incognito, but that was impossible. He could not hide to the people. Now remember, just to give you a few details, those two cities, the city of Tyre and Sidon, these were notorious cities, but not notorious for good reasons. They were notorious for being ungodly and immoral. That's what they were notorious for. You want wickedness, you want to see sin, blunt sin. Those are the cities where sin was promoted. But just to give you the reason why that is, actually the king of Tyre, when you read Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel 28, the king of that city of Tyre was the incarnation of Satan. Why? Because that king was proud. That king elevated himself. He said he will build his tower above the skies. He was covetous. He was lustful. He was proud. He was arrogant. And God said, I will bring you down. That's what pride does in us, my dear friend. Pride always brings us down. But another thing about Sidon, you know the person, for all who read the Bible, Sidon is notorious also. There is a queen, Jezebel. We know about her. You hardly find a believer who gives the name Jezebel to his daughter. Why? Because she was wicked. One of the villains of the Bible. And she was married also to another villain. Another wicked man, one of the wickedest, most wicked kings in the Bible, Ahab, was her husband. But I'm telling you, Jezebel came out from Sidon. But now, look what is happening. What is the Lord Jesus going to find in those two cities? He is going to find mega saving faith. At least with one woman in that place, he will find, that's what you need, that's what I need tonight, to find that faith which will save me, which will help me to know God, which will help me to understand what heaven is all about. While I'm still on earth, breathing in this world, I know where I will spend life after, in eternity. After death, there is a door wide open for me because I have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ who came from heaven to earth. Oh, my dear friends, I hope these things move you, not just to move you through feelings, but it is a record, it's historical, it is a fact. Christ finds their saving faith. I have 6 very simple items to put before you. So for you to know where I'm going to, the first thing I want to speak about is the identity of this woman. The second thing, we look at her misery. She was miserable. But you remember we said, in order to be saved, the first thing I must recognize is that attitude of my great need. My great need. You ask people, I have everything. Why do I need God? God is a killjoy. He will make my life miserable. But you see, there must be that great need in order to be saved. So her identity, her misery, and third, we shall see her request. Fourth, we shall see the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will explain, I use purposefully the word rejection. And fifthly, her reaction. But sixthly, you can see the answer of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 28. So let's do them one by one. I hope this is good for your soul. So that in leaving this place, even before leaving this place, you will say, I want to imitate this woman. I need to have the same experience as her, because the example given to us is to make you to know that you can your faith, the faith God gives you, will always work. But her identity, look at verse 22. We are given her identity there. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. A woman of Canaan. And when you read, by the way, this is today's Lebanon. So she's a Lebanese. Today's Lebanon. That's the geography of today. But you see, in Mark chapter 7, as I told you, she is described there as a Gentile, as a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, by her nation. It's not that she is a Hellenistic or Greek from the nation, but in that time, when you say somebody is a Greek, it means he's not a Jew. So which means that's why we use the word Gentile. She was a Gentile. But a Canaanite, that's what she was. My dear friends, you know, when you read the Bible, the Canaanites, the Moabites, the Amorites, the Philistines, there was a curse upon them. There was a God's judgment upon those nations. And from, you can read it for yourself later, Genesis chapter 9, Exodus chapter 23, Deuteronomy chapter 7, and in Zechariah, one of the minor prophets, Zechariah chapter 14, it is said there will be a day when no Canaanite should enter in the house of the Lord of hosts, which means they were banned. They should have been exterminated. You know why? Because of the righteous judgment of God upon those people, because of their wickedness and their evil doings. This is amazing. A Canaanite who should be banned. And she is here presented as somebody with faith. But I want to surprise you. Do you know? We are the modern Canaanites. You and me. You like it or not? Please don't beg me for that. You like it or not? We are the modern Canaanites. We are the modern Moabites. We are the modern Amorites and Philistines. That's our identity. You know why? Because we are in a great impasse. Great impasse. Estranged from God. God's judgment is pending upon us. And unless we find the Lord Jesus Christ through repentance and faith, there is no hope for us. We are like this woman. So, my dear friends, think. Without the Savior, look at this woman. Look at how she reacted in that situation. But let me drive my point home again. You know, another surprise for you, Bible says, we are like sheep. That's what Christ said. He said he came only for the sheep, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But Isaiah 53 says, we are lost. We walk like sheep. We want to do our own wills. We do not want to hear any. And you know, a sheep is stubborn. A sheep is a wanderer. But the second thing, look at her misery. In verse 22, verse 23 is really very rich. Everything is there. In verse 22, you see her misery. Oh, this is very hard. Every parent here, the hardest thing for you and me is when a child is in such pain that it is a trauma, and she is tormented. What is happening with her daughter? And you see, the mother comes. If you have a believing mother, oh, those young ones among us, you have a believing mother. Look how this mother is longing. It is as if it was her suffering. How much she wanted her daughter to be healed. But more than just physical healing, I'm sure if I could read her mind, I want my daughter to be saved. As I was saying this morning, it's not about, well, I want you to be happy. I want you to be saved. That's the attitude. And when you are saved from many harms. You are protected from the evil and the wickedness of this world. Oh, please, young man, listen. Young woman, listen. It is important for your soul, because there is life after death. What would you take with you? I take my capacities. I take my prowess, my talents, my ingenuity. It doesn't work there. It doesn't work before God. Oh, my dear friends, her misery, her daughter, the text says she was grievously vexed with a devil, demon-possessed. But look, in her desperate situation, she blurted out, she cried, addressing him, and this is amazing again. What did Christ find in those two twin cities? He found great faith. And in verse 22, what does she say to the Lord? Oh Lord, have mercy on me, son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. She addressed him. That's amazing. As Lord, as son of David. And you know, these were titles that were exclusive to the Jews. No pagan person should just use the title Son of David, because this is a great title. You know, every Jew reading the Bible that time, when he hears the Son of David, it doesn't mean just the one who should be king, replacing King David, but for them it means the one who will fulfill all the promises made to David, and the one who will sit, Luke chapter 1, who will sit forever on the throne of Jacob. That's what they understood that time. So it was not just a simple title. But look, she was using exclusive titles given by the Jews to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friends, she was not petulant about in her prayer. She was very serious. She was very serious. She was earnest. So the first thing, her identity. Now we see her misery. But look at, please, her request. What was her request? And you can see it again in verse 22. And she makes two petitions. Please, if you can forget if you want everything I have said so far. But these two petitions are so important. But as I told you from the beginning, no formula. But here you find two prayers. She was imploring the Lord Jesus Christ. The first prayer is found in verse 22. It is before you. Verse 22, what was her prayer? She said, have mercy upon us. Upon me. It was as if she was the problem. It was as if she was in need. And it was indeed because she was in need. So have mercy upon me. And in verse 25, you find the second petition there. She says, Lord, help me. My dear friends, this is the shortest recorded evangelical prayer in the Bible. This emergency prayer, which can take your soul right now into the heavenly places. Emergency prayer, what do I need to do to be saved? Lord, help me. Three words, saved by three words. Lord, help me. The pronoun there, the personal pronoun, first person, her and her alone. That's what you need to do in order to be saved. And you can see in those two prayers, and the point I want to make here is that when she was praying, in English it doesn't come out, but when you read the Greek text, it's like she kept asking. She kept asking again and again, again and again. Why? Because she meant it. She didn't just say, Lord, be merciful to me. Anyway, I don't believe that you will be merciful, but be merciful anyway. It doesn't work like that. She meant it. She was serious about it. She was earnest about it. And she meant it before the Lord. And she knew. Again, as I said, she was using his messianic and salvific titles. And she knew that Christ only is the one who is able. Why he is able? Three titles are given to us there. First one is the Lord. The second one is Son of David. And please don't neglect the third one. She said, have mercy. Have mercy. That's the third one. The merciful God, the merciful Savior. So three titles given to the Lord Jesus Christ here by which she knows that this man who is God of the very God is able to save her and to take her into heaven and heal her daughter without any problem because nothing is too hard for him. But now the fourth thing I want to put before you is the rejection, his rejection, because there is a dialogue in the text. She says something, the Lord Jesus Christ is silent, she continues to say something, and then the Lord Jesus answers, and she answers, and the last word, of course, it belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 28. But look at his rejection now of her. What did she expect? My dear friends, when you pray to the Lord, what do you expect? You expect a positive answer. But in spite with her frantic cries, those frantic cries fell on a stony silence. It is a demurrer, really. It is as if the Lord turned her bluntly. No, I don't want to listen to you. But with the silence, that's even harder, not only ignoring her, but when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, it was very humiliating. Very humiliating. What did he say to her? Please look at, Christ gave her two answers, and we find them in the text. The first one, he said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's the first thing he said to his disciples, actually, who were asking him to send her away. Maybe she was insisting, she was persevering, and she was crying out, she was blurting out, send her away. Maybe, please, this is my speculation. I have to move away because it's not in the word of God. My speculation, maybe they are saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, send her away and while she is going away, heal her daughter. And that's it. But no, she insisted. And the second, when the Lord Jesus Christ now speaks directly to her, please look at what the Lord Jesus said to her. And he said, it is not me to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. My dear friends, allow me just an explanation here because many preachers miss the point here. Why? Because remember who is speaking. They said Christ was rude, Christ was tough. No, please, never think like that. Who is Christ? Who is this man? For you and me, this is rude, this is hard, this is harsh. Why? Because we are sinners. But from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the perfect man who never said, who spake like no man spake, the one who never sinned in words, in deeds, in thoughts. Never. He was not unkind. He was not cruel to her. Definitely, he was not. But you see, I will tell you something that may sound strange. If you are a seeker, you are seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ. The seeker's faith and intentions must be tested. Do you really mean what you are saying? You know what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling her in all those two instances when he spoke to her? Huh. If you remain in your Canaanite state, unregenerated, if you remain as a natural man or a natural woman, there is no salvation for you. So, which means believe, trust on the Lord Jesus. That's the calling. You know, when he expressed those things to her, and by the way, you and me, I know we do it. Like the Jews of old, we always give nicknames to other nationalities. You like it or not, you do it deep down in your heart. So the same, the Jews had this popular saying, out of prejudice, of course, out of complex of superiority towards other nationalities, we are the good ones. We are the good ones. Other people, who are they? Dogs. Impure. By the way, this is how many Muslims look at Christians. Dogs, impure, unclean. At least this is the way they looked at me when I found the Lord Jesus Christ. No way to let a dog leap you or come bring him in or caress him or whatever you do with the dogs. It's a pariah outside. But remember, the word dog the Lord Jesus Christ is using here is not those wandering wild dogs. This is a pet in the home, but I will come to it in a moment. But remember, his rejection, the Lord Jesus Christ said those two things to her. And now look at her reaction. The fifth thing, her reaction. Oh, what a wonderful reaction. My dear friends, I know I always complain about this clock. I wish it's not there at all. But remember when we speak about her reaction, may I tell you something? Faith is very simple. Please, here are five. You have five fingers on your hand. Here are the five things that make faith, and you can see them with her. I wish I have time to expand them. But the first thing, in Mark chapter 7, in the same discourse, we are told that she heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. So first thing, she heard. You see, faith is simple. It's not laborious, complex, and like it's something so complicated. First thing you need to do or to be encountered with is she heard. Faith comes by hearing. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And the second thing, she believed. Faith comes by hearing. The third thing, she came. The fourth thing, she implored him. She prayed. And the fifth thing, look at it in the text, she worshipped him. Very simple. Even a child, 3 years old, 4 years old, 10 years old, you hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, you pray to him, you worship him, and you believe in him. So this is simple, nothing complicated. So that's faith. And this woman received the forgiveness of her sins that day, and every answer she gave, she will give, shows a flash of her understanding. Look at verse 27. My time is really over. But in verse 27, when the Lord Jesus Christ said to her, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs," she said, "Truth, Lord, all you say about me is true." What a great humility. My dear friends, when I was reading this, even this afternoon before coming onto this pulpit, I said, if it was me, I would say, hey, don't call me a dog. Don't call me a dog. But you see, in her case, there was no complaint, no cynicism, no mourning, no self-pity, no bitterness. It is as she said, yes, Lord, I'm a dog. I am your dog. Do with me as you wish. That's great humility for a person who came for the first time to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to be saved, I must recognize I'm a sinner. And in her case, please allow me to explain, it is not just I'm a sinner. She said, I'm a dog, and even I'm a dead dog. A dead dog. That's what I am. It reminds me a figure, a man, a gentleman in the Old Testament, the son of Jonathan. His name is Mephibosheth. And David remembered that he had a covenant with Jonathan. And he said, I want to show mercy. I want to do good to the offspring of Jonathan. They found out nobody was there but this handicapped man who was there. And now he was called to sit at the king's table, to have his meals at the king's table and to be well provided. And you remember what he said? I'm a dog. I'm a dog. And he was pleading for mercy. That's how salvation starts. If you do that tonight, say, Lord, whatever you say about me, I'm a dead dog. Forgive me. I trust in thee. But you see, this woman, she will have to brave and to pass many hurdles. Because when you want to come to the Lord Jesus, there will be many hurdles. But guess what? She was able to pass them all. Can I list some for you? Oh, the first hurdle. A woman coming in the company of men in that culture, that is a big obstacle. But she braved it. She came. For you and me, your friends may be that hurdle. Look, you go twice a day to the church? What for? Another hurdle she had to pass. The prejudice of the Jews. She had to pass that. The society. And remember, she had also to pass the hurdle of the distance. Between where she was coming to where the Lord Jesus Christ was in that time, my dear friend, there was no Uber. She couldn't call anything as such. 20 miles. If it was on a donkey or on a horse, I don't know. But she braved that distance in order to present herself before the Lord. Another hurdle she had to pass was the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, leave us alone. We had enough of you. You are seeking too much. But you and me also, we have to pass those hurdles in order to present ourselves before the Lord. But look, another hurdle she had to pass, the silence of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was exposed to the silence of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also to, allow me this word, to his hard words. It is hard. We do not like to be ignored. But when somebody insults you with that ignorance, it is even worse. But my dear friends, it's all before us. And she was not offended. She realized that it's all by grace. She flung herself at his feet. My dear friends, at the climax of all this, the real sinner's prayer is, Lord, help me. I'm a dog. I'm happy to have the crumbs. I'm happy to be given the straps from the table. And remember, actually, they did not have tables then. We are making it up. They recline in order to eat. Actually, I will even say they will just put a piece of material on the floor and eat on that piece of material. So the crumbs, the straps will be just there. And the pet now is allowed to have that. But let me close. The 16th, the response of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, Christ responds in verse 28. It's in front of you. Verse 28. Christ congratulated her faith with wonderful panegyrics. These panegyrics have never been said about anyone's before here, except earlier in Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, a centurion there was also praised, elevated with great elegy about his faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, in verse 28, Christ says to her that, O woman, great is thy faith. Do you know that this has never been said to Matthew? It has never been said to Peter. It has never been said to any one of the 12 disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. But mega, it's the word mega there. It's the word mega. Simple person coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now her faith was congratulated. Her faith was praised like anyone else. Oh, my dear friends, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Her sweet, short, and simple prayer, and that appeal was answered. Her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She was given mercy. And now the food is not for Jews only, but for every repentant sinner. Please, as I close, can I list to you the benefit she had when she came and trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ? She is not anymore a dog, but a daughter. She is not anymore a Canaanite. She is now a child of God. All these things. She came for mercy. She received more than mercy. You know what she said to the Lord Jesus? I'm happy with the straps. I'm happy with the crumbs that are falling. But you know what? She received more than crumbs. She received salvation. She received the congratulation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now she can eat as a child of God at the king's table. She humbled herself before the Lord. She took Christ at his word, and she was given much more. She was a dog under the table. But can you say with me tonight, Lord, I want your crumbles to fall upon me. Even his crumbles falling upon us will make us to be saved. But you see, when you trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't receive only crumbs. Not only straps, but you receive all about Christ. All, everything. And you are welcome at the table of the King. Oh, take him, taste him. Test him. Have any portion of him for the rest of your soul. That's why he went to the cross of Calvary. No more a dog, but a child of God. Saved by three words. Lord, help me. Come to Christ tonight. May the Lord help you. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come to thee. Oh Lord, how much can we say more to bring a sinner to be humbled, to trust in thee, and to cleave to thee even now? Oh Lord, visit this congregation. We pray that we will hear good news about a sinner finding the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that faith has great values because it is from thee, and we know that a sinner who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, his faith will never be in vain. Help us to trust in thy blood, on the sacrifice accomplished by Christ on the cross of Calvary. We ask these mercies in his name and for his sake. Amen. Amen.